Tell you, one of the greatest moments of my life was that guy that came up to us at the Hershey Weekend Remember Conference and asked us to rip up his divorce papers.
That was the greatest moment.
That was incredible. And it was so incredible because he didn't want to come to this conference. His wife sort of made him come. And he said, I'll go just Friday. But he ended up liking Friday night, stayed through Saturday and Sunday morning, and said, God did a miracle. Mm. We were going to get divorced tomorrow on Monday, but God did a miracle. We're going home with hope and a plan. And let me tell you, that's what happens at Family Life Weekend Remembers all over the country.
And you might be intimidated thinking, are we going to have to bunch up and talk to people? No, this is just the two of you. You'll be sitting with people, but it's just the two of you interacting, mostly listening, laughing, digging into some areas maybe that you just haven't had time to talk about. This conference can change marriages for the better.
Yeah, we're going to tell you right now, you can sign up and get 50% off right now through January 20th. 50% off your registration. So I would just encourage you to go to Family Life today right now. Click on the banner and sign up for Family Life's Weekend Remember. Or if you want to give us a call us at 800-358-6329. That's 800, F as in family, L as in life, and the word today.
It is a humbling surrender of, I cannot do this my way anymore. Mm-hmm. I cannot do this my way, and I think it's Ron who's going to fix it, or I need him to fix it, or I need my family to fix it, or I need circumstances to be fixed and changed. No, God, I need you to fix me and help me heal me.
Welcome to Family Life Today, where we want to help you pursue the relationships that matter most. I'm Ann Wilson.
And I'm Dave Wilson, and you can find us at familylifetoday.com. This is Family Life Today. We are back in the studio with Ron and Nan Deal talking about their messed up marriage.
They're speaking directly to us.
It felt like a mirror yesterday when you talked about your marriage.
Ron, kind of go back and give us an overview for those that didn't hear the whole thing. Just a quick overview of what we need to know as we walk.
Do that in 15 seconds.
Yeah. Okay.
Need to know as we walk in today's conversation.
All of us carry a little residue on our heart from painful interactions in our life, whether it be from childhood or from a difficult relationship. And that changes us. And your brain is always learning. And so it's always learning how to react or cope with the pain that we feel. And you develop some patterns in how you deal with pain going forward. Most of us have no awareness of how deep that is or how much it influences how we react and respond at one another in relationships. And so we're part of the problem, not the whole problem, but we're always part of it. And
we meaning ourselves, our marriage.
Correct.
Yeah.
And not our spouse.
And most of us spend our entire marriage, I'm convinced, trying to get our spouse to be for us something that will take the pain away. Mm-hmm. And pain's a heavy word, but just think of it as when I feel unloved and when I feel unsafe, I need you to fix that in me. So I'm going to try to get you to do what I need you to do. And we use four basic strategies: blame, shame, control, or escape. And when that doesn't work, then we just feel worse and the usness of our relationship suffers. We've come to believe that this is, you know, the Bible talks about your old self. You know, we're supposed to take off our old self now that we're in Christ and put on our new self. What is the new self? Well, it's the self Christ has given us now that we're redeemed and forgiven. It's just that it's not fully realized. We're still trying to shake off the old parts of us and put on the new parts of us. And I think part of our old self is this ingrained neurological, this is what I do when I feel like I'm not enough, or I feel unloved, or I feel unsettled about life and my relationships. And I react the same old ways that I reacted when I was six. Because my brain knows this well.
And we've done it so long that it feels normal.
Yeah, you don't have to think about it. That's why it's automatic. It's truly reactive. That's what dysregulation is. Literally, you've gone into a fight or flight sort of response. And you're not thinking, you're not actually going, oh, well, what's God's truth for me right now? Because the prefrontal cortex of your brain is turned off. Literally, it's turned off when you get triggered. And you're now reacting out of an old part of your brain, what we call the midbrain. All this stuff is not thought well through. Have you ever noticed you sit in church or you're sitting in a conversation with people and you're calm and settled and somebody teaches you something, you go, that's exactly right. That's going to change my life. I got to live that out. And the moment you need it, you can't do it.
Mm-hmm.
Why? Dysregulation. Your brain has stopped thinking, it has started reacting, and you always go to the same old stuff. Once you know what the stuff is, now you have a journey to figuring out, how do I slow that down, grab a hold of that? See, in my dysregulation, I want Nan to fix me. I want her to love me in a way that I don't feel inadequate anymore. It will never happen. She can't do it. She's not that powerful enough. She might be able to make me feel good for a moment, but as Dr. Hargrave says, it's cotton candy. It's here and it's gone in 10 seconds.
Fluff.
And it won't last. What has to change is me. I have to change. I have to get more in alignment in my mind. This is renewing the mind. This is Romans 12:2. Mm-hmm. This is Philippians 4. This is, Colossians 3. This is most of scripture in the New Testament. I have to align my sense of identity, my sense of worth, my value with what God tells me about me. And then and only then can I get a hold of the worst part of me that's been around for 50 years.
Mm. I think the ruts and the places that we get stuck. Paul talks about the things that we continue to do, but we don't want to do.
Yes.
Are sometimes our little T truths that we tell ourselves.
Lowercase T truths.
Because if Ron would only stop.
Yeah.
If I would have gotten these things from my parents, those are little T truths that I believed for the longest time. But it's the capital T truth of what God is saying about my identity in Him and that I can take off this old and put on the new. Now, I may be doing that every day, but that's how I walk out my life and in my relationships. Sometimes we say with people, why do they continue to do that? Why is she always stuck in that? Or why is he still doing that? Because those ruts can be deep. And they can be ingrained, like Ron said. It's just something that you've gone to for so long that it's just second nature.
Now, how do you get to the point where you identify that? Because as I hear you talking, I'm thinking about even as Ann and I got married, there's a belief, and I think it's accurate.
Yes.
But it's also, we don't understand how wrong this belief is, even though we think it's good. The belief is, I'm new in Christ. The old is gone, the new has come, 2 Corinthians 5.
Right.
We're sitting, and we've shared this many times on stage, but we're sitting at the weekend, remember, first experience with family life 2 weeks before our wedding, right?
The marriage conference.
Yeah, the weekend, and Dennis Rainey's on stage teaching, and it's 1980, and we're getting married in 2 weeks. And we're told, you can't get married, you got to go to this conference. Okay, we'll go to this conference. We're probably 15, 16 months new in Christ. We're pretty new Christians. But our belief is the old is gone. We're new. So we're sitting there.
The Bible says that.
Yeah.
It does, theologically. But we also know theologically that while it's true, we have new life in Christ in the sense that we are redeemed, forgiven, His children. We are His, period, end of sentence. It's sort of like we're children of God, but we're not yet in heaven. We're not yet living with Him. We're not yet fully experienced all that He has for us. We are working out our salvation every single day. A little bit more grace, a little bit more grace, becoming more and more into the image of Christ. But just because I get baptized doesn't mean I come out of that water fully walking and looking and acting like Jesus Christ.
And positionally, as you said, we are theologically.
That's right.
Well, talk to the person that was like us thinking, if I go back to some of the pain and stuff in my past, it's like I'm not walking in Christ. It's like, oh, that's therapy. Yeah, I don't want to go there. You know what I'm saying?
Yes, I understand. And the reason you go back to understand your old self is so you can put on your new self. You've got to understand where your triggers are, where you get dysregulated, why that happens and what it's about and the messaging so that you can get in alignment with God's capital T truth. we all want to say as Christians that God's voice is the biggest voice in our life. We sit in church, we study his word, we get the capital T truth all the time. But here's my aha. My voice is not always in alignment with God's voice. And my voice is the biggest voice in my head.
You hear it all the time, every day.
I talk to myself all the time, and I say, I'm not enough. That's my automatic thought. I'm not enough. So I've got to excel and work harder and impress people, and then I will be enough. And then I will have your favor, and then Ron will be okay as a person. Not true. I know what God tells me about me. I know he says, no, Ron, you don't have to do anything. You don't have to perform for me. You just are. Because of the blood of my son, you just are. You're mine. I know that, but I don't live that because my voice dominates God's voice.
Mm, that's a good way to say it.
That is who we are, and that's what's automatic in my old self. So part of taking that off is recognizing that voice and going, whoa, 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 what's the truth? There's four steps that we've learned to do to help us put on our new self. And the first two are all about who am I, what's going on with me, and why am I doing what I'm doing? That's steps one and two. Three is, wait a minute, what's the truth? The truth is I am valuable for me. The truth that speaks to the lies that I've been believing. The truth is that God loves me, that I'm empowered, that I have agency over life, and that my performance has really nothing to do with my well-being. And the truth is, even though my wife's upset with me right now, I'm still a person of worth. Now, how do I act that way? Step four is, well, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to calm myself, get a hold of my reactivity. I'm going to slow that down, even though she's still mad. It's not about what she's doing. It's about what love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, what would gentleness look like in this moment?
Well, let's do it like this, Ron, because we've used the word dysregulated, triggered. You guys talked about that in our last episode of how you were driving and you both became triggered, dysregulated. We hear that word a lot with raising children, especially toddlers. They're laying on the floor having a tantrum, and we say, my child is dysregulated. We know what to do with our children. Take a deep breath. Yes. We know these calming things. We're saying, as adults, we're laying on the floor. That's dysregulated, triggered, and that's where we are. So right there, you're in your head. You can't get out of it. So you're saying, okay, as an adult, here's what you need to do as you're dysregulated. Like we're at that like extreme. Think of the tantrum, like you're in your head.
It's a perfect example. And the irony is what most of us do in marriage is we expect our spouse to be the parent who comes along and helps this little crazy child find their sense, grow up and calm down. We are trying to get through blame, shame, control, or escape to get our spouse to fix us.
Which only escalates the fix.
It escalates it, Nan.
Because I don't know why she didn't want to be married to a toddler having a fit.
The screaming gets louder and things get thrown.
Because they're not doing it right.
Right.
You're not doing for me what I need you to.
You're not fixing me.
Think about that imagery. Who wants to be married to a screaming two-year-old? That is exactly what I did last night when we're getting in the car and the wires won't work and I can't plug my phone in. I become a two-year-old. It's that crazy. And who is responsible for me in that moment? Not her.
Yes.
Guys, this is really important because inadvertently, I think we have made some mistakes in the marriage and family field. Mm. We've sort of taught that if you meet your spouse's needs, they will not be a screaming two-year-old ever. They will always be the perfect spouse that you want them to be. Not true. Mm. It's never been true. It's not going to work. You might be able to get them to feel better about themselves for about half a second. It's cotton candy. It's gone. But the next time they get triggered, they're going to go right back to being a two-year-old. My job is to grow up in Christ. It's my job to look in the mirror and go, Ron, what is going on with you? Get a hold of yourself. Nan's still upset. You know what? It's not the end of the world. I've got to start being an adult right now rather than the little child.
Well, you know, what we hear, and I know you hear as well, you walk off the stage after a talk or whatever, and commonly I'll hear, I want to grow up, but I can't because I'm married to
him
or her.
Right. You hear the blame?
They're preventing me. They're blocking me.
Our marriage could be great if.
Yeah, it's always about the other. It's not me. And, you know, and you write about this. How much of that is pride? Because to do any of this, you got to be humble.
Dude.
It's 100%.
Yeah.
It's 100% pride, for sure.
And that will always keep us looking at the other rather than looking in the mirror. It's humility that allows us to look in the mirror.
Exactly.
that says, I need to change. Yes. I am the problem.
That's right.
And God, you are the change agent.
Yes.
Help me.
Yes.
I need you. It is a humbling surrender of, I cannot do this my way anymore. I cannot do this my way. And I think it's Ron who's going to fix it, or I need him to fix it, or I need my family to fix it, or I need circumstances to be fixed and changed. No, God, I need you to fix me and help me heal me. I mean, I have asked him to completely heal me of all of these pains, and we are on the journey together of that. And I am learning to trust him and surrender that to him. He can't go back and change things from age 6. He can't go back and change things in our marriage from day 1. But he is helping me see that I need you to trust me in whatever you're walking out. And I think for me, when I knew my pain and knew what I would continually do in my pain, that old Nan, that prideful Nan, that selfish Nan that wants it her way. And she turned to, but God, who am I in you? And that I needed to surrender all of that and trust him in that. Then he shows me how I walk in the new. And that for me has been freedom. Freedom. Now, do I get dysregulated with Ron? Sure. I did last night in the car. And yet, it's not a week long of shackles.
Yes. Yeah.
And I can.
And bitterness.
I can see that old self and go, wait a minute. No, not going back there. I know who that old person is. God, I need you right now. I need you to slow my heart rate. I need you to slow my mind. And I need to pray to you. Okay, in this moment, what do I need to do? I need to trust you. And I'm saying scriptures that are important to me. Proverbs 3:5-6 over and over again, that I need to trust in the Lord with all my heart, not what Nan wants in her heart.
Or not trust in Ron.
Right.
For
exactly.
Her heart.
Or in the circumstance, but trust in you. You're going to direct my steps. Please direct my steps. I think too, there's a battle here. The enemy wants to kill us and steal us and destroy us and isolate us. If we're not connected to God, we're just going to continue to go to that old selfish, prideful self. And then he wins with his tactics.
One piece that we haven't talked about yet is you got to do something different. So the research is really clear. You can know the truth and not do it.
Right.
That renewing your mind, that language that we hear in the New Testament over and over again, actually comes through obedience. It's the obedience of doing something new and different in our understanding of God's word for how we respond in any given moment. It's when I put on gentleness over and over and over and over in the midst of dysregulation that I begin to undo my old self. And so part of the process of the mindful marriage is actually being aware of your old self, what you need to do, and then practicing and doing it. We tell people in the book to practice when you're happy. Practice when your relationship is good. When you can be...
What does that mean?
Jovial about it. So when you're sitting in a restaurant and you go, okay, so if I was dysregulated right now, what would I be doing? And we just sort of go through the... talk through the process out loud in front of each other when we don't really have to do it. We're not really upset.
Give us an example.
I kind of think last night we did it. I mean, because we sort of recovered quickly, which, by the way, is our journey. 17 years ago, when we first stepped into this space, we didn't recover for weeks.
I said out loud, I'm so dysregulated right now. Can you tell? And he's like, I am too. Well, I'm going to start breathing. I'm just going to start breathing and stay over here in my lane.
And
so
pretty
you're
quickly,
saying this out loud.
Yes.
Oh, yes.
And the reason you say it out loud, Ann, is because it sends a signal to the other person. See, if you spend a good part of your marriage, which well, I think all of us do, trying to get the other person to fix you and they're trying to get you to fix them, then your little rut, we call that the pain cycle, is so deep that it doesn't take anything at all before you're in it. You can go from happy to pain cycle.
It's the magnet.
It
is. They draw you in.
Boom. Yes. You're there. It's so automatic. So if you're going to change anything, it's helpful to signal to yourself and the other person that you're trying to do something different. Mm. So literally saying out loud, oh, whoa, whoa, whoa. I know what's going on with me. I'm feeling inadequate right now. And so because I can't get the stupid phone to plug in and I'm super tired. And so what I usually do is I get all frustrated and I throw the cords, and I just did. And what's the truth about this? The phone has nothing to do with my worth or value. That's just not even close to the truth. The truth is I am adequate, and in God I'm worthy and I'm okay. So what I'm going to do different right now, I'm saying all this out loud.
That's awesome.
In front of her, which says to her, oh, Ron's trying to do something different. Ron's trying to get a hold of himself. Ron's trying to put on humility about himself right now. And so that part of her that needed to fix me with criticism or control can turn off. Because Ron's doing Ron's work. I don't have to do Ron's work. Ron's doing Ron's work. The invitation for Nan in that moment is to go, yeah, and what's my work? And now you have two people putting on humility. Everything changes at this point.
How long did it take you to get there? Because so many spouses, it's a hard journey to get from my eyes are on him or on her. They're not on me. She's doing the right stuff. And I still am mad.
Here's my point of view about that. As a therapist, I've worked with couples and I've seen them in a matter of months make the shift and really begin to put on new practices and new behaviors that then helps to solidify their newness and how they respond differently. For us, our journey was a little different because we started this 17 years ago and then our son died, and that threw a big wrench in the whole process.
We had a complication in
there. And that set off a number of things that lasted a decade in and of themselves, as we've talked before on this program. And then that led to a miraculous moment where Nan finally gave that up to the Lord, and she had to hit bottom, I guess is the way to say it.
Exactly.
And then we were able to pick up our usness journey again. But in the meantime, you know, let me say something to, we've both had to do this with one another, a partner who's going, I'm doing all this work and my spouse didn't want to do any of this. Yeah, that's part of our journeys where she was working on us and I wasn't. She was in the throes of escape numbing. And I was over here trying to go, who am I to be? And I'm just called to love and do the best I can. And I got to be dealing with me in the midst of the pain I feel about her. So I was so focused on trying to do my work that in some ways I didn't know how to connect with her when her behavior was at its worst. And we struggled and we struggled and we struggled and we just sort of kept coming back to, but who am I called to be and how do I do that as best I can?
COVID was so good to me. The Lord met me in that season when I bottomed out. But I would say it's been four years of working hard at this individually and then coming together and seeing each other and seeing each other's pain. It's been some hard work, but so worth it. And I see the hand of God, His grace and mercy on my life. I see Ron working so hard. And then it's just, I feel like we're in a season where He's blessing us.
We feel His mercy.
Just cannot articulate that enough. For me, I mean, people say, Nan, you've written a book. Well, three therapists and a chick got together. That's what I say. I am taking these very hard concepts. It feels like you're going for therapy or an intensive and putting them on the bottom shelf for people like me. And marriages like ours, I just want people to have freedom to be unshackled by their pain, the pain of their past and behaviors and things that the enemy just so wants them to be stuck in. I get stuck. I get a decade of being in pain and I feel freedom and I feel a peace. And I want that for people.
I mean, that is so beautiful. And we want that for everybody.
For
That's
sure.
why you wrote the book. I mean, it wasn't for you guys. It was to bless and help others. And it's already helped us. And we're just studying it to do the show with you. So we want to send you the book. Send a donation to familylifetoday.com. We will send you The Mindful Marriage. Or you can call us 1-800-358-6329. That's 800 F as in family, L as in life. And then the word today.
And if you give any amount, any donation to Family Life, we will send you The Mindful Marriage book. And don't forget, we have that free assessment that you can take. You can click that link and go online to take it. That's at familylifetoday.com.
Family Life Today is a donor-supported production of Family Life, a crew ministry, helping you pursue the relationships that matter most.